Hi guys, welcome back to O Jogo Bonito by your host J-Cron. I'm joined today with Mr. Ferguson.
Hello, hello. A special early episode this week. Why is that?
I am off to the World Cup. And
he's been called up.
I've been called up by no particular nation. I'm just going to go watch the World Cup. So, hence why we've got an early recording today. I'm thoroughly excited, but I'm dreading looking over the predictions that I made. Mr. Ferguson, take it away.
Well, you did get the joint most results correct. You still managed to come last, though, this week. So it's a strange old set of results that's happened this week. So, Jacoban, you correctly were the only one to predict France beating England. But you put on 3-1 rather than 2-1. So you only got 1 point for that. You did get Netherlands-Argentina being level after 90 minutes. And because the penalties are involved now, I've given you a point for that as well, because I think that's only fair. And you did predict Argentina to go through afterwards as well.
Did I say 1-1 or 2?
You said 1-1 rather than 2-2. But you had Brazil down to go through and you had Portugal down to go through. And neither of those happened. Mr. Jennings got one correct result.
Morocco-Portugal, right?
Croatia-Brazil.
Oh.
He got 1-1 after extra time. He did predict Brazil to go through on penalties. And I feel slightly dirty giving him 3 points for that. But he did get the score right after 120 minutes. So, however, I've come out of this week on top.
How?
Because I got the correct score for Netherlands-Argentina and I got the winner on penalties. And I got the correct score for Morocco-Portugal. And you laughed at me last week. And you both laughed at me. And I was sat there. I think I was in the car driving back from Oxford that day. And I was listening to it going, oh, come on, come on, come on, bring it home, bring it home.
I remember watching that game and I saw 60 minutes from the corner of my eye and I said, oh, no, this is 1-0 Morocco. No, this is done. Portugal played exactly like Spain did.
Yeah.
And Fernando Santos clearly didn't learn anything from that. They were slow. I thought, I'll be dead honest. People rate Ruben Neves.
He played well for Wolves two or three seasons ago. He was very good for them, but I don't think he's got the versatility to his game.
I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, I would have brought Rafael Leão at half time. I would have moved Felix to the middle, put Leão on the left, and just have him run at Hakimi. And then probably have a double pivot of the Suns attacking, but Bernardo Silva and Otavio, and have played Bruno Fernandes in the 10. And who was on the right then? Let's see. Morocco-Portugal lineup. I would have taken Gonzalo Ramos off. I thought he was ineffective.
Which is strange given how good he was last game. I think there was a lot of that going around for that Portugal side. And this is a theme I think I'm going to come back to for predictions for tonight and for the final, is hitting form at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Argentina blew Croatia away. Messi doing his thing. Julian Alvarez again showing why I think he is going to be a breakout star next season.
Well, I heard people talking after that match about how he was the heir apparent to Messi in that Argentina side. That's overblown. That's massively overblown.
I think the heir apparent might be someone along the lines of more. I would say someone like Thiago Almada, who plays in the MLS. Again, big shout from me for someone on the MLS, but the playing style is similar.
Well, we all know you've got your UEFA Continental Pro Coaching A badge, so...
to be honest, I think Julian Alvarez is the exact player that Argentina needed alongside Messi, because Lautaro Martinez is finishing. Apart from the penalty, which, fair play to him. Obviously, Harry Kane can't take penalties. So, Lautaro Martinez slotted that one away. And I just think Julian Alvarez was very, very good. Enzo Fernandez showing again why he's one of the most coveted midfielders in the world.
I did think, I thought he was excellent, but I will say in the last few minutes, I think it was around the start of the second half or so, I did think he was starting to look a little bit leggy.
He's played a lot of games. He's played a lot of full 90s.
I don't think... Has he actually been subbed off in any of the matches for Argentina? I'm not sure he has. Maybe so he was, one of them, but that's a lot of football
to
play.
I think he subbed on against Saudi Arabia. Let's check his minutes, actually. Enzo... He's played every game for Benfica this season.
Yeah, so. every game at club level. Most of all of the matches for the World Cup. For his style of midfield play, that's a lot of effort to put through your muscles. I can only imagine how tired he's feeling, and he'll be pushed on by national pride at the moment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you know, your mentality can only take you so far.
Exactly. For the listeners at home, I'm currently checking how many minutes Enzo Fernandez has played, because I'm pretty sure ever since he came into the team, I don't think he's been subbed off that often.
No, I think I've got a feeling he's been subbed off in one match, as I flick back through old predictions documents that we have here in the studio. Was he subbed off against Poland?
He's played 443 minutes at the World Cup.
So that would be nearly five full games.
Yep.
So if he was subbed on for the Saudi Arabia game, that takes most of the game. So I think he must have been subbed off perhaps once since then.
Yep. So he's played a lot of minutes. And if we look at Messi's minutes, he's got joint most goals and assists. Yeah, Messi's played more minutes, obviously, because he's...
But Messi's has that walking style now.
Yep.
He doesn't exert effort unless he needs to. And that's why he's able to make that fantastic run against Vardiol in yesterday's match, where he rounds him sort of on the touchline next to the halfway line and goes all the way round down to the byline and sets it up for Alves to score the third. Who else is doing that? Deep in the tournament, at his age, no one else will do that.
True.
Maybe Di Maria, if he's had enough rest.
I don't think Di Maria can do that. I think Messi's low centre of gravity has been talked a lot in the past, but not... I think Di Maria is too tall. He can't turn that quickly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Going back to my elite winger theory, if you know, you know. If you're a listener, an avid listener, you would know. I also do think one player who surprised me this tournament is actually Griezmann, because I haven't seen a lot of him this season, being dead honest.
Well,
who wants to watch Atletico Madrid at the end of the day?
Well, and there's been the whole thing of his contract at the start of the year, where he couldn't play more than 30 minutes a match.
True.
Which is, I think has made a lot of people forget actually how good a player he is.
True. I completely agree. And he's turned from... his evolution as a footballer has been very interesting. So he started off as Sociedad, obviously, as a left winger, back when you play wingers on your right side, on their crossing side. Then he was a left winger, right winger, became a striker at Atleti in his first stint. Then went to Barcelona and started playing on the wings again, left and right, on the left and right, sometimes through the middle. And now he's now a number eight, I'd say, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, all good players have to go through an evolution at some point. We've seen Messi go through his, and obviously it's worked out pretty well for him. You've got to go through it at some point, and I think he's done a really good job adapting to the changing capabilities of his body.
True. I'd also say another player who's gone through an evolution, probably less pronounced, is Neymar. Neymar, a dribbling winger / striker at Santos, same kind of left winger at Barcelona, now more of a creative 10, in my opinion. I think his finishing's been declining recently, because I've watched quite a lot of him at Santos and at Barcelona, and his finishing is not as good as it used to be, so maybe he needs to start getting on the training ground, do some shooting with Keylor Navas, who can't get minutes, obviously. Great player. So those were the predictions.
Yes, that was last week's predictions.
What are your thoughts on the game tonight, France against Morocco?
Ooh, are you asking me for a prediction now?
We'll preview the game and then we'll get a prediction each. Mr. Jennings got his... So it was you and then Mr. Jennings, and then I was joined bottom.
Yeah.
I was bottom.
Which I thought was harsh on you, considering you got more results correct and Mr. Jennings didn't predict the winner of the penalty shootout. But as the saying goes, there are lies, damned lies, and there are statistics.
True. Maybe we need... our listeners can rewatch the last episode, because I did also go very cheekily shots on target, etc.
I must confess, I didn't log all of those details. So any listeners who want to check out our JK's shots on target predictions, you can, and first scorers, and did you predict yellow cards in one match?
I did. Maybe we need to have a comment section at the end, actually on the bottom of each page. Maybe
the problem with that is that we get quite a lot of spam comments in from various different locales. I can see them all pending to be approved on the Jukebox website.
Maybe we can chuck in a Google form there of some sort.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out. Stay posted on that one. I was in France. England was an interesting game because I thought. I don't think neither side created many clear-cut chances. It wasn't a very open game, in my opinion.
Kylian Mbappe deserved to win. I thought he was good. I thought that he presented a threat.
I don't think he was very threatening. I think he would have got an assist if Ousmane Dembélé goes with his right foot on that chance. Mm. And if people talk about England's chances, but if Ousmane Dembélé takes down his right foot, which most likely he would, volleys it top corner. That's 3-1 France. So the referee wasn't great, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm a little bit in two minds about what to say about the referee at this point, because I'm very aware of all the talk that's going on in non-league football in England about referee abuse. There's a walkout in non-league football for not non-league but sort of Sunday league football. For referees, because of the abuse they've been getting from players and from fans, which is sort of being normalised by people at the top level expressing, you know, shouting at refs in the middle of matches. You know, Bruno Fernandes in particular is really guilty of this.
I do think that sometimes there's a communication gap, and I think refs need to have press conferences before and after games.
Yeah, I'm all questions. For that. Yeah, I think if we could, and it would help, you know, this is like the conversation that people have had about VAR. You know, it's not necessarily that VAR is the problem, it's the lack of communication about it that's the issue. We had the, in the Argentina-Croatia game yesterday, there was the penalty that Messi won. Did Messi win it or did Alvarez win it?
Alvarez won it.
And all of the pundits in the ITV studio were adamant that it wasn't a penalty. Absolutely adamant. Even after they'd heard from
Peter Walton,
yeah.
Or the other referee equivalent who's on the...
Yeah.
Who's part of the broadcasting team.
There's a guy I know called Chris Walton from my university, and I keep getting him mixed up with him. But yeah, Peter Walton was saying, well, no, this is by the letter of the law, this is a foul and therefore a penalty. But yeah, all that to say that I'm trying to be more careful about talking about referees, but I don't think it was a particularly good performance. Maybe I'm biased because I'm English, but I felt like a lot did go against England in that match. But I do also think that he generally let a lot of things go that he then penalised at other points in the game. I think it was the inconsistency
exactly.
That was the issue.
I was just about to say that, and I think one thing that IFAB have to do as the writers of the football law is look at fouls in this way. If players go to ground, they go to ground because they need to get a foul.
Mm.
Players don't go down, they won't get a foul.
And we saw that in the game yesterday as well.
Exactly. So either referees have to be able to see when a player's trying to not go down, because people get chastised for simulation and they get chastised for not simulating contact. And I think that's part and parcel because it's encouraged by referees inadvertently by not giving fouls.
Yeah.
One penalty as a biased United fan that comes to mind is Jadon Sancho against Newcastle.
Mm, yeah.
He goes down a bit late, doesn't get the penalty even though it should be a penalty.
Yeah, because he tries to stay up for two steps afterwards.
Exactly. So that has to be changed. But perfection is not the aim, it's progression.
I mean, we see, if you talk about baseball, for example, after each match... I don't know if it's done by the officials or if it's done by the fans, but it's quite widely accepted that after a match, a review card will be published for the umpires in that match, and they will review which calls they got correct in the box and which calls they got correct outside the box, and likewise wrong inside and wrong outside. And they will assign scores based on those cards. And it's heralded when an umpire gets 100%, gets a perfect game of calls. And I think perhaps we need to maybe celebrate when referees have good games more. Maybe that's it. But as a football fan, you feel like they should just get their job right. So, yeah, it's a maybe difficult as the situation.
Fan, yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Maybe as a fan, we have to lower our expectations because they are human at the end of the day. Just breaking down that England performance, I thought, again, very, very cagey game. I thought...
I enjoyed watching it. And even though there weren't many chances, I thought it was a really interesting match to watch. I don't think Bellingham was quite as influential as he has been the rest of the tournament. I think he was quite well nullified. I think Luke Shaw was very well nullified.
I thought Rabiot was particularly good at covering.
Yeah.
Because England had three players on that side. They had Walker, Henderson and Saka.
Mm.
And obviously Mbappe doesn't track back, so therefore that's a three against two. So that's why England were getting a good amount of joy that on the side. I thought Foden drifting helped. But I don't know. It was just one of those sort of... If I had to rate the game as a whole, I'd give it like a 6 out of 10. I mean, it was an okay game. France got the result that they deserved because, well, they put two... They had chances and they scored chances.
If you put balls in the goal, you deserve to win at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I thought that... Apart from the penalty, I thought Tchouaméni was very, very good again. He's a very mature player.
Just
gets the job done. This France-Morocco game is going to be very, very interesting.
Ooh, oh, man.
Key battle, again, I'm going to go down the media route, the trivial media route. Key battle, Mbappe against Hakimi, mates.
Yeah.
Because I think Ziyech is also on that side. And Ziyech against Hernandez is also going to be interesting.
That I'm personally quite interested to see how Amrabat does up against Griezmann. I think Amrabat will be able to shut him down quite well because Amrabat is incredibly energetic. But because of the quality that France have elsewhere in their midfield with Tchouaméni and with whoever else they decide to start...
Most likely Rabiot.
They will need to be able to close those players down as well because they can pick passes out. And if Amrabat is tasked with trying to chase all three of them down like he did in the Portugal game, which he managed somehow...
Well, because Portugal made it very, very easy.
Well, they did make it easy for them. Let's take nothing away from Amrabat there.
True.
I don't think France will make it that easy, though.
I don't either. I think Giroud against the centre-backs... I will say this. I think Randall Kolo Muani, he hasn't got much game time, but he's a very good player.
Yeah, I think what will really be interesting is how I'm assuming that Roman Saiz won't be able to play based on him being taken off against Portugal. I know he started that match with an injury and I think he exacerbated it by playing, so I'd be incredibly surprised if he plays tonight. So if he doesn't play, I think that might be the undoing of Morocco. And I know you said we weren't going to do predictions yet, but I'm going to immediately go against that.
I was going to say we could preview the game, which we've done. So let's get into predictions. Is this going the full distance?
You know I got to do it to him. Okay. I think France will break the Morocco rear guard. I think they'll be the first team to score against Morocco this tournament themselves, not an own goal.
Yeah. You backing the Moroccans to go all the way to the final?
Yeah, I am. I'm backing Morocco. And I can't believe I'm saying it. I couldn't believe I said it last round, though. I am backing Morocco. I've got a feeling about them, you know? I've just got a feeling. And it's only happened in the last couple of days. It didn't even happen immediately after the Portugal game. But I think at some point on Monday, I just went, I think they're going to win the World Cup. I think they're going to win the World Cup.
Wow. I'm going to go 1-1, goes to penalties, and France will win.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so... I do think if it goes to penalties, I think Morocco will have it, personally.
Actually, you know, I'm going to change my prediction.
Are you? Oh.
2-1 France.
2-1 France, okay. I've put the seed of doubt into your mind there.
Because I was doubtful about Argentina-Croatia, and then the Argentines just swept them aside. So,
But this is what I'm talking about. Morocco, I think, they have sustained their level. They are playing for more than their ability. They are playing for incredible pride, and I think their supporters really dragged them through a long way, and I think it'll continue to drag them through. The big teams, though, I think we've seen Portugal hit their stride in the round of 16. Yeah. And then tanked against Morocco.
But France haven't hit their stride at all the whole World Cup. They're playing with a weakened side. They don't have Nkunku, Benzema.
Yeah, I think they're missing too many players to hit their top gear. I do. I actually think they might have already hit it.
Against?
Which match was it that I thought they were really, really good?
Australia?
Group
stage.
I think it was the... I think they were very good against Australia, don't get me wrong. I really liked how they played against Poland.
Mm.
And I do think, you know, although England probably didn't do enough to deserve to win, I think they were quite lucky to get through against England. I'm just not sure. This is the first time that Morocco... Actually, let me check this before I say it. I'm just now going to flick back through all the predictions.
I'm going to give you a very interesting stat.
Okay, hit me with it.
So if Morocco don't go through and they play Croatia...
Mm-hmm.
It will be the second World Cup in a row where the third place playoff will see two teams who met each other in the group stage.
Wow.
Follow up question: who was it last World Cup? Do you remember?
Was it in Russia?
In Russia, third place playoff. Who was it?
It would have been England versus who did France beat in the semis last time? It was Germany, wasn't it?
No.
Was it not?
Very close flag colour scheme, but not Germany.
Oh, who was it? Was it?
They went out on the group stage this year.
Belgium?
Yes.
Ah.
I just thought of it as I was looking at it. Mm. How funny is that? And Morocco-Croatia was a no-no, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was. Because I'm just flicking back through the results that Morocco have had so far. Because I wanted to see how many world-class players they've played against. Not necessarily even world-class. I mean... truly elite players.
Modric.
De Bruyne, who had a terrible game, but still De Bruyne.
Thibaut Courtois as well, let's put him in there.
And then next up was Canada.
Spain.
If you want to count Alphonso Davies, I think that's a bit harsh, but...
I think Pedri, Gavi, Busquets, those are elite.
Yeah.
So those three. Are we counting Jordi Alba as elite, or...?
I wouldn't personally. Yeah, I think he's exceptional, but
Laporte,
I don't think he's elite.
Rodri's elite. I think Rodri's elite. So
but I'm talking about elite on the top 10 players in the world level.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm talking about, you know, I'm thinking how will Morocco cope against Mbappe?
I think Theo Hernandez in his position is also a threat.
Yeah, absolutely he is, yeah.
And actually, funny enough, you've got a very interesting side, that side, because you've got Theo Hernandez, who played with Hakimi at Madrid.
Mm.
Got Mbappe plays with Hakimi now at PSG. So let's see how that goes.
It'll be really interesting, because I wouldn't at this point put Ronaldo in a top 10 players in the world or even close. So I wouldn't include him from the quarterfinals.
I would include someone like Bernardo. So well, no, not Bernardo Silva.
But I'm thinking. And the reason I wanted to look all of that up was everyone who Morocco have played seemed to have had a bad game. And it's starting to get to the point where I'm thinking it's not necessarily that they're having a bad game.
It's Morocco very good.
It's Morocco are exceptionally well organised and so fiercely combative. And I think it's disrupting teams much more than... I think we might have expected it to.
True. I think the Argentines will get through the Moroccans down the final. If the Morocco do make it, I think Argentina will match Morocco up in formation in the final if that happens.
I'm not sure about that. I think that might have been Argentina peaking in the semis. I said I'd come back to it. I think that you get in a World Cup, I think you get one game at your top level, and I think Argentina might have hit it. Because I thought they were exceptional.
Last World Cup, though, France beat Argentina 5-3 in the round of 16, then they went to beat Croatia 4-2.
I wouldn't say winning 5-3 is exceptional, though. I think it's a great game for the neutrals, but I don't think that's a sign of an exceptional performance.
You make a very, very valid statement. So therefore, who are we predicting to win the World? Let's go 1-4.
Yeah, I've just realised I forgot to give a score for France-Morocco. I said Morocco would win. I've got them 2-1.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to go 1-4. I'm going to go Argentina for number one this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And also, let's do golden ball, silver ball, bronze ball predictions as well.
Okay.
Number one, Argentina. France will be second. I think Morocco will be third. Croatia will be fourth.
So that was Argentina...
to win it.
Yep.
France to be...
Second.
Morocco, then Croatia.
Okay.
And then my golden ball winner will be Lionel Andres Messi Cudicini.
Yep. I think Messi is a lock for golden ball at this point. He's been incredible.
I'm going to go for a rogue shout here. Mbappe or Ziyech for me for silver ball.
Yeah, I do not hate that.
I think I'm going to go Mbappe. And bronze ball, Vinicius Junior. Let's go for that one.
Oh, interesting. So you're not going for Ziyech for bronze ball then?
Actually, do you know what? You make a bad point. Again, Ziyech for bronze ball. Let's do that.
Yeah.
What about your predictions?
As I try and remember how to spell Hakim.
H-A-K-I-M.
It is H-A-K-I-M. Thought it was double E. Yeah, I think Messi's golden ball. He's been incredible. He's been absolutely incredible. And he's through to the final, and that meets the criteria I set out last episode.
Yeah.
So it's Messi. It's Messi all the way. Silver ball. If Morocco make it to the final, and if they do win it, like I think they will, still feels weird to say it. I think... who do I think would get... I think one of their players would win silver ball.
Could be Ziyech, could be Bono.
It could be Bono. I don't think it's particularly established to give golden balls to goalkeepers or any of those.
Oh, golden ball or silver ball, we're talking. Because Messi's got
silver. Of gold, silver, or bronze. I think it's very rare that a keeper is the best player at a tournament.
Actually, speaking of which, we forgot to do golden glove and young player. Golden glove is the most clean sheets, isn't it? So.
Which would be Morocco at the moment,
would
I think.
Should we give Bono the... let's give Bono the golden glove.
Yeah, and I think that would probably make him not...
eligible for silver ball.
Yeah, I think because he'd have an award, I think they'd pick someone else.
Yeah, so Bono for golden glove. Young player of the World Cup.
Where do they draw the cutoff line for work for young player?
I think I'm just going to go 23 and under. I'm going to go 23 and under. Let's check.
I think I am going to go for Jude Bellingham for this, and I'm actually going to say that not just for his in play abilities, but also for the leadership he's shown at such a young age. The clip, I'm sure you've seen the clip of him trying to get Harry Kane focused again after the penalty miss against France. Now, the only England player who walked up to him and tried to talk to him and get his head back in the game. I'm a little bit shooting in the dark there because I'm not so
20,
good on ages.
Yeah, 21 and under. Sorry.
Okay. I'm not so good on player ages, but I think that's where I'm looking.
Jude Bellingham, very, very good shout.
I will say, how old is Enzo Fernandez?
I think he's...
is he 22?
Let's double check. He is... he's 21.
He's 21. Ooh.
And then the World... Yeah, he was 21 when the World Cup started. Must be at most 21 years old.
So he could be eligible.
So the player had to have been born after the 1st of January 1997 for the 2018 World Cup. And Enzo Fernandez for this World Cup is born on the 17th, so he does qualify.
Yeah, just.
Just. If Argentina win, I think Enzo will get it. So I'm going to back Enzo Fernandez for that one.
Okay.
FIFA Fair Play Trophy. That's just a... that does.
Who gets the fewest yellow cards, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't really care about that one.
Definitely won't be Netherlands or Argentina.
So golden boot. I'm backing Messi on this one again.
So what are the standings on that? Because Mbappe was clear last time.
So it's Messi-Mbappe level. At the moment.
Ooh, goodness me. And that's with Messi having played one more game.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, do I think Mbappe's going to score against... actually, I think he's going to score regardless of whether it's against Morocco or Croatia. I think he's got at least one or maybe two goals left this tournament.
You know what? Here's a rogue shout. I'm going to back Julian Alvarez on this one. Now, if we're previewing... let's go. The Premier League football's coming back. We're not going to preview the No One Gives a Crap About Cup. Pretty simply, we've got Premier League football, Boxing Day. Let's also get your predictions in for that one, Mr. Ferguson.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
We've got it on the monitor here.
I know. I've just realised I'm now going to have to set up a new prediction sheet for it.
And also, by the way, we're going to do top five leagues as well, and then we're going to go on to transfer rumours.
Okay, so let's just duplicate an earlier sheet and drag that over. As we are a Microsoft Showcase school, we're doing this all on a file on Microsoft Teams.
Cheeky plug there from you.
Cheeky plug. Well, I know Mr. Jennings just passed his Microsoft Enterprise exam that he took recently. So I think he'll appreciate it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He will.
Hard to say.
He will.
So are we predicting Boxing Day games?
Boxing Day games, yes. That's Brentford, Tottenham.
Okay, here we go. Delete all of those. And we start with Brentford, Tottenham.
Do you want to get all the teams or do you want to get predictions?
Let's get all the teams.
Leicester, Newcastle.
Leicester versus Newcastle. This is thrilling content, I'm sure.
Palace, Fulham.
Crystal Palace versus Fulham, was it?
Yes.
I say silly voices and I forget what
Everton against Wolves.
Okay. That'll be a tasty Christmas game.
Southampton against Brighton.
Yep.
Battle of the South Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Villa, Liverpool.
The Steven Gerrard derby.
Arsenal, West Ham.
Nothing really witty to say about that one. You sound like James Alexander Gordon doing the old sports report.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Chelsea,
Bournemouth.
Chelsea versus Bournemouth.
Manchester United against Nottingham Forest.
Okay.
And...
which leaves us with...
one more team.
This would be City versus someone.
Manchester City against Leeds United.
Ooh, tasty.
We've probably got the home away wrong. But
yeah, I think that would, because I think only one of them will be at home.
And then we're going to move on to Serie A.
Okay.
We have Inter against Napoli.
Spicy.
And what other games we've got? That's going to be our one showcase game.
Should we take a showcase from each league then?
Yep. This one from the Bundesliga. Actually, we're going to take two from that.
Ooh.
Leipzig against Bayern Munich.
Okay, yeah. This is Bayern Munich.
And München Gladbach against Leverkusen. Xabi Alonso's Leverkusen.
Versus Bayer Leverkusen.
That's correct.
Okay.
Where is this? Does Ligue 1 have any half decent games? You know what? Nice Lens.
Okay.
And then we go to La Liga. Let's go Betis Bilbao. Let's make it interesting.
Real Betis.
And then we're also going to take the Battle of the V's. Villarreal against Valencia.
Okay.
And we're going to just switch over to the standings just to show you and give us a picture of what happened and where we left off. Seems to have a very robotic episode, but it is what it is. So obviously Arsenal top of the league. Let's hope that doesn't last much longer. Man United 11 points off. That's not happening. So let's get cracking, right? Brentford, Tottenham.
Let's do it. The big question coming out of the Boxing Day fixtures, because that's the first round back, isn't it?
Yes.
It's going to be how well teams adjust. It's a really weird transition period back. Teams playing in the World Cup. Some players will have come back early. Some players will come back right at the very end. And then everyone will probably... will they be off for Christmas? Will they take Christmas Eve off or Christmas Day off?
No.
You know, obviously, it's down to individual clubs what they do for that, but I think it will make a difference. Obviously, it'll either mean that they're not as good strategically or tactically or fitness-wise, or they're not as good morale-wise.
True. Let's go quick fire prediction on this one. I'm going to go 1-0 Brentford.
Okay. I'm going to take... actually, I quite like that one, actually. I'm going to go 2-1 Brentford.
Next game is Leicester Newcastle, right?
Leicester Newcastle, indeed. I'm going to take that as I think Newcastle will be on a good run coming back out of this with good players. I'm going to get them 3-0.
I'm going to go 2-0.
Okay.
Next game, please.
Crystal Palace, Fulham. I think it could be. You know what? I was going to say I think it could be pretty rubbish, but I think that means it's going to be
good.
A classic. I'm going to take Palace 3-2.
No, no.
Okay. Don't blame you. Everton
next
Wolves. Same logic. I'm going to go 1-1, but I think this isn't going to be good.
No, no.
Okay.
What should be like a masterclass?
I'm not expecting that from those two this season.
Next one, please.
Southampton, Brighton.
2-1 Brighton.
Okay, I think this will. I've got a funny feeling this is going to be the game Southampton do well, and then they're going to capitulate around New Year's. So I'm going to have them down 2-0.
Next game, please.
Aston Villa, Liverpool. What have you got?
2-1.
2.
Villa.
Okay. That's on my side. Yeah, this could be interesting. I'm curious to see how Liverpool do coming out of it. Someone pointed out earlier, a lot of teams haven't played a high press this World Cup.
Mm.
I wonder if a lot of Liverpool players will have sort of dropped out of that. Obviously, they'll have come back and done some training with the club.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't think that's a terrible shout. I'm going to go 2-2.
Next game, please.
Arsenal, West Ham.
1-0 Arsenal.
1-0 Arsenal.
The old adage, 1-0 to the Arsenal.
I think this could be more than that. I think it could be 3.
Wow.
Chelsea, Bournemouth next.
3-1 Chelsea.
Chelsea going for a shocker. I'm going for I've just got a funny feeling about Chelsea this time.
Actually, do you know what? I'm not as convinced. I'm going to go 1-0 Bournemouth.
You're going to go 1-0 Bournemouth?
Yeah, have I taken your score?
I actually hadn't decided on a score before I finished saying that sentence. My predictions are very much stream of consciousness. I think I'm, you know what, I'm going to go for 3-1 Bournemouth. Man U Forest up next.
4-0 Man United.
Was that big pause because you were thinking there's a chance that United get buttered up at home against Forest?
No, I was just thinking whether Forest will score or not. I don't think they will. I think we'll have Varane and Licha back for
this stink. This absolutely stinks of that classic United trope over the last decade of losing random games over Christmas, like that 3-2 against Newcastle a few years back.
Oh yeah,
this stinks of that. I'm going to go with my heart, but I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be 1-0 to United. City Leeds next.
3-3.
But yeah, I think this is going to be good. I'm going to go 4-2 City.
Next game?
Inter Napoli. Now, I'm going to need a bit of context on leagues here because
Napoli are top.
Okay.
They are 11 points ahead of Inter.
Mm-hmm.
They have played the same amount of games. Napoli are 8 points clear at on the top of Serie A. In terms of the World Cup, Inter of Lautaro, who's going to the World Cup, Brozovic, they've had Dumfries, obviously Bastoni, not because Italy didn't get through, Onana, who came back, Lukaku went to the World Cup. You had, who plays on the left for them now?
You know what I'm thinking actually for this one?
Yes.
I'm thinking 2-0 Napoli, and I'm thinking that because Osimhen is, I don't think, he hasn't gone to the World Cup.
No, because Nigeria didn't qualify.
Yeah,
neither has Kvaratskhelia, and neither has any of the Italian players.
Yeah, so I think Onguissa, they'll have had time to gel again.
I think Onguissa, Oliveira, Kim Min-jae might be out, though. That's the thing.
It could be, yeah.
And then if that's the case, then they'll have Rachmani and Ostergaard playing together, which Ostergaard's been okay. I'm going to go 2-1 Napoli.
Okay. Next up, Leipzig.
Actually, do you know what? We get another change. I'm going to 3-1 Napoli.
3-1 Napoli, okay. Next up, Leipzig, Munich.
3-1 Bayern.
3-1 Bayern. Yeah.
I was tempted to go 4-0 again, but they haven't been too bad. They're third in the league. I mean, the Bundesliga is highly, highly volatile. Between third and ninth, there's 7 points.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in the Bundesliga, and that's why I wouldn't be surprised if this fixture really goes any direction. So, having said that, I'm going to go 2-1 Leipzig.
Wow. Gladbach, Leverkusen.
Yep. I've got Leverkusen here, and I've got them 1-0.
2-2.
I've suddenly just looked back over my predictions and noticed I've not got a 0-0 yet. Oh dear.
Ligue 1, we're going Nice-Lens.
We are indeed. I'm going to need some context again.
Lens are second in the league, Nice at ninth. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Lens win.
Okay.
Lens have won 11 games this season, the second most behind PSG.
Well, that's a good record.
Their record this season, 11-3-1. Nice is 5-5-5.
And Nice don't particularly strike me as a team this season that can pull a result out of nowhere, like a team, you know, pulling something out against Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Nice don't really strike me as that, so I'm going to go 1-0 again.
To Lens?
To Lens.
Home of Raphael Varane, who started his career there before he went to Real Madrid.
Next up, Betis Bilbao.
Bilbao, fourth? I say that with great surprise.
Got little cartoon eyes popping out of his head.
Who?
You've got little cartoon eyes going, Bilbao a fourth? 2-1 Betis was that?
Yes.
Okay.
Villarreal Valencia. Quique Setién taking over Villarreal, actually.
Just quickly, I'm going to chuck in a...
Sorry, of course.
That's okay. I'm going to chuck in a... You know what? I can't decide. This is the 0-0. There we go.
Villarreal Valencia. The Danny Parejo derby, some might say. Valencia missing Musa, who's at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who else. I'm going to go 1-0 Villarreal.
Okay.
There's only 2 points separate them from 9th and 10th, so.
Villarreal strike me as a team that play better on the continent than they do in the league.
So you're going 1-0 Valencia?
I think I'm going to take Valencia. I think I'm going to take them 2-1, though.
Gattuso's men getting the better of Quique Setién.
Yeah.
Now, this is our brand new segment where we debunk some transfer rumours.
It's getting to that point of the season.
January transfer window's coming up. And we're going to have a system where we're going to rate a transfer rumour of 1, no way in hell this is happening, and 10, definitely happening.
Yeah.
Nailed on. And in terms of, yeah, that's the plausibility scale. So...
We need to come up with some kind of patent pending name for that or something.
Rumor review. Let's just call it that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's boring. It's boring, but it is what it is. What else? I'm just getting up all the rumors I can. Big thank you to Microsoft Edge,
Microsoft Showcase School.
Right, so Memphis Depay to Man United.
If he hadn't already been there, I think it would be very plausible. But I think he's been there once and it didn't end particularly well for him anyway.
Yeah.
I think he'd enjoy it more with Ten Hag there. Don't get me wrong, but just because of that previous experience, I do think it's still possible. But whereas before I would have given it an 8, I think now I'm giving it a 6.
I'm going to give it a 7. I can see it happening, very much so.
It makes sense with Ten Hag's system. Having some familiarity with the place, even if it was from a failed stint before, is helpful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that memory is going to be lingering.
Mm. Then I'm going to give you 2 more. Memphis Depay to Arsenal and Memphis Depay to Tottenham.
Arsenal, 2. No, I don't think that's
Tottenham?
Two. I'm not sure he'd do either of them. I don't know why Tottenham would take him particularly.
Charleston's out for a month for injury.
I don't think you'd sign Depay as a month-long fix. I don't think
you
would.
I'm going to go 3 and 4 for those two, by the way.
I'm going to revise mine, actually. I'm going to go 2 for Tottenham. I'm going to go 3 for Arsenal. Arsenal is marginally more likely, I think, because I think somehow it makes more sense there.
Yeah.
But I don't see him at Tottenham.
And then I'm going to do player, and then they might have more than one option. So.
Okay.
Karim Benzema to Man United or to PSG at the end of the season?
Firstly, 3. I didn't know about this rumour at all until you sprung it on me before we started recording. In some ways, it makes sense because Benzema's going to be out of contract soon, so it would make sense that Madrid try and get some money for him first. And United do need a striker in the January transfer window. One who is preferably of an elite level, and Karim Benzema is the current Ballon d'Or winner.
It would probably be a summer move, but it
probably would be. But you know, there's a chance it could get done earlier. you know, if Madrid want money for him, then why not?
They'll probably get. I think he'll sign a new contract, but
he probably. Yeah, I don't think he'll move. I don't think he'll move at all, actually. And when you brought this rumor up to me, I said what I'm going to say now, which is that there have been a lot of rumors about Benzema's conduct in the dressing room and off the pitch. And I think that would be a warning flag to a manager who is just starting to set up a new system.
I think Benzema fits that system like a glove.
Yeah. And I think it's also worth pointing out that there's a big debate around wage structure at United at the moment, especially with, I don't know if this is going to come up later in the segment, with the rumours about Rashford to PSG.
It will come up.
Okay, well, I'll get more into that later. But I think the wage structure will be something that wouldn't... I don't think Ten Hag would be willing to break it for Benzema, personally, because I don't think he's got long enough left for it to be worth it.
Okay. We're going to go João Félix-centric. João Félix to Chelsea, João Félix to Arsenal, and João Félix to Man United. João Félix to Chelsea, I'm going to give it a 6. I could see it happening. They need a striker. Why not? João Félix to Arsenal, I could also see it happening. I'm going to give that a 6.5. João Félix to Man United, on the other hand, I'm going to give it a 4. What are your thoughts?
Not to United. That's a 2 for me. I really, really don't think that's going to happen. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give that a 1. I really don't see it happening. I've suddenly thought, well, no, that he would have some versatility in a Ten Hag system, but I still don't think that's happening. Too much money. I think Chelsea makes the most sense out of Chelsea and Arsenal. He strikes me as a Chelsea player. In the way that they've got players like Mount and Pulisic, how Eden Hazard's been great there previously. He's just a different player to all of those, granted. But I do think that he is the kind of player that fits in well in a Chelsea system. So I'm going to give... I don't think he's going to move, but I'm going to give a 5 for Chelsea and a 4 for Arsenal.
I'm going to hit you with another couple. Cody Gakpo to Man United. And then I'm going to hit you with a follow-up. Cody Gakpo to Real Madrid, Cody Gakpo to Arsenal. So just a rating.
Okay.
As much as we like to provide context.
Yeah. Madrid, 3. Don't think it's happening. Don't think he's what Madrid are looking for. Arsenal, 4. More likely, but still don't think it's going to happen.
United. I'm going to join you on those two, by the way.
United, he's the right... He's a good player for them, but I think PSV will want too much money for him at the moment.
I'm going to go 6.
Yeah, it's not impossible. I'm certainly not saying that. I think I do agree it's 6.
Malo Gusto to Man United or Real Madrid or Chelsea?
Do you know, I can't actually say I know him. Malo Gusto.
Lyon, right back. Fun fact, Malo Gusto in Portuguese means bad taste, which is slightly ironic.
I actually couldn't give a rating because I'm not sure about him, to be honest.
I'm going to go 5 for United. Real Madrid, I see a 3. And I'm going to go 2 for Chelsea on that one. So a cheeky 5-3-2. I'm sure Louis van Gaal will be very happy with me. I'm just seeing some more rumours here on my phone. Rodrigo Bentancur to Man United or Real Madrid?
3 for United, 4 for Madrid. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he's quite what either team needs now.
I'm going to go... Well, actually, I think he'd be really good at United next to Casemiro because he could take the ball off. He could be that ball
progressor. How old is Bentancur at the moment?
He is 25.
25?
I did tip him to sign for United at some point when he was at Juventus. But
I just don't think... there's something about it that doesn't quite click with me, and I couldn't give you a tangible reason, to be honest.
I'm going to go 3, and I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go 5 for a Madrid. I can see this one happening. Josko Gvardiol to Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool, Real Madrid, Man City.
Oof. Goodness. That's tricky. I think of those, Madrid and City and Chelsea, I could see all of those happening to some degree. I think United, and who was the other team you mentioned?
And Liverpool.
Liverpool. No, I don't see them at Liverpool.
So 1, 2? You can even give it a zero.
I'll give it a three. I don't think it'd be a bad signing, but I don't see it.
I'm going to go one.
United, four. Two. No, I don't think that's happening.
I could see it happening if Harry Maguire leaves.
Maguire's getting a chance, though. That's the thing. Ten Hag's come out recently and said
summer.
That.
I think he's gone in the summer. I think he will want to leave in the summer.
Yeah. I don't think it won't be January, though. I think
Man City. I'm going to go six.
Yeah, he's not a particularly elegant player aesthetically, but he's a very good technical player. And I think that would suit a City system pretty well.
I think I could see Ake leaving and Guardiola replacing him.
And somehow, despite the fact that City do have really good defensive partnerships and a defensive system, they've never felt like they particularly have great centre-backs since Kompany left.
I think, I'll be honest, I've been very unimpressed with Ruben Dias this World Cup.
Yeah, he's not had a great World Cup. He's been good for City, but he's not had a good World Cup.
No.
But I think, you know, even at the height of that John Stones-Ruben Dias partnership for City, you wouldn't really say either of them were the best centre-backs in the world, would
not
you?
Really, no.
So I think there's room for improvement there. So I could see it. How do you think he'd be at Chelsea alongside Thiago Silva? Do you think he'd be a replacement for Silva?
I think he slots in the left of that back three, which Tuchel wanted. Fun fact, actually, Tuchel wanted to play Koundé as a right wing back. I'm going to go seven for Chelsea. And for Real Madrid, I'm going to go six, because I think it'll be too much money and they'll want to get a midfielder.
Yeah.
And also they're spending 72 million on Endrick.
Mm.
By the way, I would, if I was Chich, I would have taken for the World Cup. Different option, better than Everton Ribeiro. What a storyline would have been if Endrick came on and scored the win against Croatia. But that we won't know. Maybe in a parallel universe. Yeah, so those rumours, we're just rating them pretty low. Mudryk to Arsenal, I'm going to go four. I think Shakhtar want 100 million, not going to happen.
No, not for that money, no. Two.
Let's go so
you've
for...
You've probably got time for one or two more.
One or two more, yeah. So Bono to United, I'm going four.
Yeah, three. I don't see it personally. He's had a good World Cup, but a good World Cup does not keep a make.
Exactly.
Even if he wins the World Cup.
Yeah. Kim Min-jae to Man United.
No.
I'm with three.
No, that's not happening. No. A lot of these names, I think, are just being thrown around because United get
exactly.
clicks. Two.
Let's go for... Let's hit on the big two. Enzo Fernandez to Liverpool. Enzo Fernandez to Real Madrid. Enzo Fernandez to Man United. Liverpool, I'm going to give a six. Real Madrid, I'm going to give a seven. And United, I'm going to give a three.
Yeah, not United. Possibly Liverpool, probably Madrid. Not sure exactly on the numbers. I'd probably go again three for United. And then I actually think five for Liverpool. I think it could happen, but it's not really...
Yeah.
I think Liverpool need something more than just Fernandes. I think they need to build a crop rather than a single player.
But they won't get Fernandes and Bellingham as reported by the Daily Mail. I don't think that's happening. They don't have the facilities, financial facilities.
Yeah, not them. Both of them. I wouldn't be surprised if they got one. But not both. Madrid, I think, could very easily go for Fernandes. I think that would make a lot of sense, even with their stacked midfield.
Speaking of the aforementioned Jude Bellingham, and then we'll go into one or two more after. Jude Bellingham to Man City, Real Madrid, Liverpool. PSG is what I'm going to throw in. And Enzo, actually, for PSG. Enzo to PSG, I'm going to go six.
Actually, that's not a terrible shout. I'm going to go six as well. I don't think it's the most likely, but I wouldn't be surprised. Bellingham to PSG, no, don't see that. Which leaves, what did you say, Chelsea, City, Liverpool?
I did City, Liverpool, Real Madrid.
That was it, yes.
Why don't we chuck Chelsea in there as well?
No, I mean, it's not going to happen, but...
I'm going to go eight for Real Madrid, I'm going to go seven for Liverpool, I'm going to go five for City and four for Chelsea.
I think Enzo Fernandez suits Real Madrid more than Jude Bellingham does. Personally, I know that there's a whole cliche about English players on the continent, but I do think it exists for a reason. I don't think he would have quite as much of an impact. I think Enzo Fernandez would be better there. I think his future is in the Premier League, and I think, goodness.
So Real Madrid 4-5?
Four. Even four feels a bit generous, but I'll go for four because it's Madrid have got money. I think that who do I see him most likely as? I think he's probably This is difficult because I, in my heart, I really want him at Man United. Certainly not in January. It's not.
These are just rumours yeah. for whenever.
I think Bellingham, if United don't spend big money on a striker in January, if they get someone in, let's say on a free, not including Benzema because of his massive wages, or if they bring someone up and try and maybe bring up a winger and try and start Martial and Rashford as rotating strikers, then I think they'd have the capability to go for Bellingham, and I think they would have to at that point. But I'm not convinced by it. I've got a horrible feeling he's going to end up at either Liverpool or City.
Who are you going to say? Rate? I just want a rating.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to give them both a 7, I think. Mm. I think they're both as likely as each other right now.
Marcus Rashford to PSG, Marcus Rashford to Real Madrid.
Madrid, 1, not happening. PSG, they've courted him for a while. I don't know if they're courting him just to get at Man United. It almost feels like that a little bit.
I think they're just courting him because he'll be on a free.
Yeah. But
even United will trigger the year extension. I
think they already have.
Probably done it behind closed doors. I think they'll do it. Do I think he'll sign a new deal?
I'm in the minority,
which I think we should just sell him. I would take between 50 and 60.
Oh no, you'd have to get more than that for him. You'd have to. He's still young. He's still got so
he's
much.
25.
He's still got so much of his career.
I would take that 70, 80 million, add a little money to that, go to Milan, say, here's Rafael Leão money. Thank you very much. I think Rafael Leão is a better player than Marcus Rashford. Or how about Rashford plus 80 million for Kylian Mbappe?
I don't think PSG would take that because
Rashford is to United in terms of he's Parisian born and bred.
He's so commercially important to them. So
is Rashford to United, though. That's the thing.
Mbappe, with all of his sponsorships, with all of his deals for imaging, that brings PSG along with them. I think it makes a difference. I think if PSG sell Mbappe...
But they've got Neymar and Messi.
How much longer have they got Messi for?
At least another year, I'd say.
Neymar
signed a deal till 2026, so Neymar's there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, Messi, 1, maybe 2 years more, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think if you sell Mbappe, it's like admitting that you're at the end of your relevancy period.
Yeah, so this is where we disagree. I'm going to go 7 for PSG. I'm going to go 3 for Real Madrid. Now let's see. Can I find any other rumours?
I think we're just about out of time anyway at this point.
We may be so. Amrabat to Liverpool. I'm going to go 7. What about you?
Well, actually, it wouldn't be a terrible deal, but I don't think it's going to happen. 5. It makes sense, but I don't think it'll happen.
Let me just rattle through a few more very quickly. Kante to Barcelona.
Too old. 2.
I'm going to go 7. I can see it happening. Sander Berger to Liverpool or Chelsea?
More likely Liverpool than Chelsea. 4 and 3.
I'm going to go 6 and for to Liverpool and 4. What else? Ziyech to Milan. I'm going 7.
I think if he comes good in the World Cup, I think Chelsea will hold on to him for longer. So 3.
Sweet. So that's the end of Rumour Review. All the rumours debunked and reviewed by yours truly. Thank you for listening to the O Jogo Bonito podcast, episode 11. And we'll see you after the break. Take care. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.